marquee guy today is Hiller Moore, the district attorney for East Baton Rouge Parish for the last decade, and he is here to talk about a few different items. And it's always a pleasure to talk with you, Hiller Moore.
Same, Jim. How you doing?
Doing well. Good to hear your distinctive voice. Hiller Moore, let's begin with Todd Wessinger. In 1995, this man committed one of the most heinous crimes in the history of Baton Rouge at the old Calendar's restaurant on Perkins Road. And he was sentenced to death. And then at one point, his death penalty was overturned. And then last week, there was a new development. What happened?
Well, this case, as you know, has gone on for some time now. And it's been through the state system, all the appellate courts, and at the Louisiana Supreme Court. And his appeal was denied. It then worked away through the federal courts on post-conviction work, and that's been through Judge Brady once or twice, actually twice. Judge Brady in 2012 issued a 70-page ruling or so, particularly discussing the ineffective assistance of counsel, which was raised, and he found that counsel was not ineffective. And then following that decision in 2012, there was another federal decision that came out that Judge Brady felt that after reconsideration and another pleading that was filed with him, he then found that counsel was ineffective and took the death penalty away and the jury verdict away. And we appealed that decision, and just the last week that decision came back and it reversed Judge Brady and reinstituted the death penalty.
Well, Wessinger was put on death row 20 years ago, and Judge Brady, who I'm sure you know as well as I, he's judging or making his decisions only on the basis of what's before him, not the nature of the crime, and he believed that Wessinger didn't get proper defense. I guess that's the basic crux.
That's correct. Ineffective assistance of counsel, not only at the claim was made, not only at the penalty phase, but also in the post-conviction phase, or that claim found that the lawyer didn't do certain things, which obviously the Fifth Circuit decision decided differently.
And you have followed this case from its inception. November 19th, 1995, Wessinger killed Stephanie Gazzardo, the 27-year-old manager of Calendar's, and also killed was fellow worker David Brakewell, who was 46. This was about as sinister and heinous as it gets, wasn't it?
It was, and you know, for me, I knew Mr. and Mrs. Gazzardo and Stephanie. Stephanie was very good friends with my sister, Judy, and I also knew one of the managers at the restaurant at that time. So this one was somewhat close, and as you know, I've been to many, many different crime scenes and homicides. I was not at the DA's office at the time, but this one, knowing what I know and seeing now what I've seen, this was a particularly gruesome scene.
And anyone who's heard the 911 tape can hear plainly Stephanie Gazzardo literally begging for her life, and it didn't make any impression on Wessinger.
Oh, that's, I forgot to mention that, but surely that's one of the most chilling 911 calls that you will ever hear. And also, as you remember, David Armentier, he was shot in the back. And then I think Wessinger attempted to shoot another employee, Alvin Ricks, but gun jam. So this could have been four people that were killed, but fortunately, two survived.
Well, those who might have misgivings about the death penalty, in a case like this, sometimes they say, well, look, this is a special case. This guy, he did it. He's on tape doing it, and he did it in the most cruel, callous way you can imagine. But it also shows that 20 years have passed and the guy is still on death row, and there have been all these machinations in the courtroom that cost the taxpayers money. What do you think about the death penalty in general, with this case as perhaps a prime example of a guy who did a terrible crime, was sentenced to death, took the jury only 90 minutes to do it, and yet 20 years later, he's still on death row?
A really good point, Jim. It's kind of disheartening to see these appeals go on this long. And generally, they last this long on some mental retardation kind of issues. But it's either that or it's incompetent counsel, and this is the incompetent counsel part. But surely for a family to go through probably in this case 300 to 500 different types of motions and hearings in 20 years, you know, when can you ever rest to know that this is behind you? And it's a difficult conversation that we have with victims' families when we talk about the death penalty and what our office is going to do on a particular case. Do we choose the death penalty or not? Obviously, these are rare cases where we choose the death penalty. It takes us now 5 years to go to trial, generally, and that's about 300 motions by very competent defense counsel. And then following that, it's 20 to 25 years on appeal. And as you know and has followed, Warwick Dunn's mom, Betty Smothers,
mm-hmm.
How long did that go on? I mean, it went on just about Warwick and his younger brother's entire life until it was just reversed, 2 years ago. It's tough on families, it's tough on the community, it's tough on the lawyers. John Sinkfield tried this case, and Dale Lee at my office has been the appellate counsel for 20 years, and this has been a half, three quarters of a life.
Has Wessinger shown any remorse?
If he has, I surely haven't seen it. And he tried to get others to assist him prior to the murder, and I believe afterwards try to gather some assistance from others. And I have not seen any sign of remorse whatsoever.
And you noted that you have been in touch with the family of the victims. Wayne Gazzardo has been a proponent of Wessinger getting the death penalty, and based on what happened to his daughter, I'm not sure anybody could blame him for his passion in this.
No, he has really been at everything. He and his wife, and I spoke with them last week to make sure that they heard the news, and somebody had already called them, and somewhat of a relief. But he knows now that there's a chance. He has 14 days to seek rehearing, and then if that's denied, he has 90 days to seek a writ to the United States Supreme Court. We believe that this matter has been heard so many times on the same issues that we don't believe that either one of those should be granted or will be granted, but we'll just have to wait and see.
We're visiting with District Attorney Hiller Moore of East Baton Rouge Parish. If you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757. Email talk@talklouisiana.org. The Baton Rouge dialing number is 297-5633. As far as the death penalty, do you think it's a deterrent?
Well, we've read so many different books and studies on that, and they're just like anything else. It comes down two different ways, I guess, from the writer's opinion. But what hurts it is waiting 20 years. What kind of deterrent is that? And what if your mom, you put your hand in a cookie jar, your mom waits 20 years and slaps your hand? Well, you might be a little angry at that point. Mom slaps your hand for what? Why did it take so long? We know that these cases take a long time. But Texas has remodeled their entire appellate system where it appears now that from beginning to end throughout the entire process, that's probably around 10 years. Surely Louisiana needs to take a look at how we handle these cases. It's brutal on families.
But if something were to happen to Wessinger or anybody else on death row, a health episode, they would be rushed to a hospital and receive the very best of medical care.
No question. That's not abstract. It actually happens often.
In the case of Derek Todd Lee, he had a pacemaker inserted, didn't he?
Yes, absolutely. And I think died fairly quickly after that.
But he is another example. Here's a man who killed multiple people. The DNA evidence was more than compelling, never showed any remorse, didn't admit what he did, and yet he outlived some of the victims' families. And
yes.
They went to their graves worried about Derek Todd Lee.
No question, it's got to be a painful way to leave, particularly when it's your child that's killed. That's got to be something that just tears at their heart and their mind, and can't imagine them sleeping or having any type of life and holidays. It's we reserve the death penalty for those that we believe deserve it, and there are many, probably more, that we do not choose based on many things. And as you know, Jim, it's a unanimous verdict, not only in the guilt phase, but also in the penalty phase. And if one person says no, and, you know, we rely on jurors to tell us the truth, that is both defense counsel and prosecutors, when we ask their opinion on the death penalty, what do you think? And, you know, hopefully we get the honest answer from them.
Murder rate, something you've taken great pride in and reducing from record levels at one point. Hiller Moore, where do we stand right now?
You know, it looks like at this point, this is probably has been our worst year since, you know, decades ago. And surely we started the Brave effort in 2013. So we have not matched that number, and hopefully we will not. So we'll still be below our baseline year of 2012. But we are around 70% higher in actual homicides for the entire parish than we were last year at this time. And as you know, last year was a very unusual year, extremely low year in homicides. But it continued the trend from 2013 all the way to 2016 of the big declines in homicide. And, you know, we started Brave at that year, and we hoped that Brave was at least in part the reason for the decline. Whoever will know, you know, for sure, we don't know. Criminologist Dr. H. Shahada will tell you he believes that surely a big part has been the Brave effort. Why this year? Why the big increase this year? Is it social disorganization theory? Is it because when bad things happen to a community, these types of things occur, like maybe what you saw in New Orleans following the hurricane there? I don't know. It's tough. We're scratching our head. It seems to be, Jim, this year, we've seen an increase in more of just the drug dealing type of killings that you see, and also an increase in domestic violence, which is troubling. We still have our groups, you know, gangs that are feuding with each other, shoot at each other. Those numbers this year do not appear to be the driving force of the numbers, just more so people beefing and drugs.
70% increase in murders in the first half of this year. Now, that follows a year last year in which the numbers were historically low, but that's a huge increase. Is this being mirrored in other parts of the country?
Yeah, absolutely, and unfortunately. And you know, Jim, again, I'm not sure who's going to ever know what the true answer is for anything we discuss in this type of realm, but the other sister cities of ours that have started the group violence reduction strategies, like Kansas City, St. Louis, and others, you know, we meet with the DAs, meet amongst each other often. They've seen their increases 2 years earlier than we have. Their numbers have been record highs, way past their baselines. But this being, I think, their third year. So we've been rocking along real well and taking Brave and taking our what we do to other cities and taking it nationwide to let people see what we do. And other cities have been troubled much more quicker and harder than we have. Hopefully this is just going to be something that's temporary, and hopefully we can see some decline toward the end of the year.
But we do have a situation now where the Brave program, which you have touted, is in jeopardy. What's going on with it?
So Brave is a four-year grant. It's actually two different grants, one for 05, as you recall, and then it was doing well in 05, so we then received one for 708-02. That's our two still problem areas in the parish. And our grant was designed to end in September, October of this year. We had asked for an extension because the inability to spend all of the money on services, you know, maybe for many variety of reasons. And we're told through the mayor's office that the extension was not granted. So I have no idea what's going to happen to that money, where it'll go, whether it'll be put back in Baton Rouge somehow. But it was designed to end in September. We've been planning that the funding would end in September. They advise us from the beginning, make sure you have some contingent plans because the grant will not always be there. So we started a Brave 501c nonprofit. And we have actually another board meeting tomorrow, just looking for ways that we can possibly fund Brave-related efforts through the nonprofit. And that's where we are focused now. The Brave model and what police and DAs do will remain the same, because the grant money did not go to any of our salaries or things. It strictly went to data collection and getting treatment and help to the most, the big trigger pullers that we have identified. Those are at risk because, as you know, our gang members or group members, they're 900 times more likely to kill or be killed than any other kid in Baton Rouge, which is a high number. Trying to get them services is tough because these are tough kids. And that's where we've had trouble just filling spots and getting that done.
877-217-5757, anywhere you are, for Hill or Moore, locally 297-5633 in Baton Rouge. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with District Attorney Hill or Moore.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, Mr. Moore, I just want to thank you as a Baton Rouge citizen and a resident of the state of Louisiana who grew up in New Orleans for just the way you do your work and the way you represent us. And I really appreciate you are one of the people I consider to be trustworthy in our political realm. My question for you is, what would it do to get some sensible gun laws coming around? I know our representative, Mr. Scalise, was shot while just at baseball practice, and just how dangerous our city is with all the guns that are out there.
Thanks. All right. Thank you, Phil.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks for the comments. And, I have a very talented, dedicated staff, and I really enjoy coming to work every day. This is a calling that worked for me, so I do appreciate it. Sensible gun laws, again, is going to be, from the eyes of those who are looking at it. That's, it's a struggle to change any types of gun laws we have. Surely people have a right to bear arms, and a vast majority of people that own firearms do it legally, and we have no issues with them. It's just these people who are not, don't care about the law, don't care about citizens or humanity, that are carrying these weapons and generally are getting these weapons out of someone's car or someone's home. That's where we're finding them. We're finding that guns are communal-type guns. If they find a gun that works, these kids and these drug dealers will use this one weapon and keep it in a safe place, a trap house, and get the gun when they need it. So it's not responsible gun owners. It is, unfortunately, people that don't lock cars or have their homes burglarized where these weapons are taken and eventually used on the street. And tracking these guns from state to state is difficult. So at this point, we can only do what we can do based on the laws that we have. And, with the justice reinvestment, some of those laws have changed. And I think that if people look at some of the measures that passed, they would probably not agree with them. The good time calculations that maybe now 25%, where there's really truth in sentencing. If you get 5 years, is it 1.2 years? Is it 3 years or 5 years? Things have changed, and we need to look at the way we do things. Mm-hmm. I think there was an article that just came out in the paper where, again, Louisiana is at the bottom of every list or top of every list that you don't want to be on. And we have to look at our drivers of crime. What's driving the crime? It's probably not the gun, but it's other things. When someone that is at the bottom or top of all of those lists, when he gets a gun, it's not good.
John in New Roads asks, are the numbers also up for armed robberies this year?
Good question. I don't have that number in front of me. Just my knee jerk, I would have to say they're at least consistent with last year. I do not believe that we're seeing any really big spike in armed robberies.
Well, District Attorney Hiller Moore, it's always good to talk with you. Thanks for the update, and we'll be in touch again soon.
Thanks, Jim. Have a good day.
You too.